replaced tape number two, cassette tape number two, side A in the recorder. And we'll now start back a ways on what was on the large tape and go on from there.
Battled here in what was then a wild country that was Indians all about them. They went north to what was called Mound Fort. And they lived at Mound Fort for some time and then went west a mile and established their home on West 12th Street. The Indians would come over there and they were always kind to them. They played and wrestled with her boys.
How much land did they take in there?
I don't know how much land.
It was several acres.
Probably more than that.
Maybe 10 or 12 acres. But
was it in the Broom Bench area?
Yes, it went back almost to the Ogden River, way back south from the home. And it was mostly meadowland, places for cattle to feed or sloughs, and land that was not fit for anything much. Some of it was. But they planted crops, and grandfather passed away not long after, well, when the move south came, and the Saints were forced to leave their homes and go south on account of Johnson's army coming through. They came back, and grandfather went out and tried to sow a little wheat so they could have a little wheat or something for the coming winter, and he passed away just a few days after they had returned home after being going south on account of Johnson's army. He didn't live very long after that, and she was left a widow with a family of children.
He died in 1856.
He passed away in 1856, Grandfather Moses Tracy.
Well, do you remember any specific incidents that she told you about in her life that don't appear in that diary of hers?
I have to stop and think.
They knew the prophet personally, didn't they? The prophet Joseph Smith.
Oh, yes. Yes, they knew him personally. Before they left Nauvoo, they were called on a mission to go back to New York State and go to the place where they had lived in and around Ellisburg and the country around there as missionaries. And the prophet came to the boat as they were going down the Mississippi to the Ohio River and then from the Ohio and on up into New York. He came to the boat to bid them farewell and to give them his blessing, which he did. And she states in her diary that that's the last they ever saw of their beloved prophet, because before they returned, he had been assassinated. And they preached to their relatives. They went out all among their kinsfolks and others and preached the gospel, but they were not successful. She said, we were made welcome. They loved to have us in their homes and treated us very nice, but they would not listen to the message which we had to give them.
Do you remember your grandmother Tracy saying anything about her own mother?
His name was Alexander, of course, and her mother was Betsy Alexander, and grandmother said that her father died when she was young, and her mother went out to work. She had to go out to work to earn a living a great deal of the time, and Nancy was left alone, but she had a Bible, and she says her greatest pastime, the thing she loved to do was to go out by herself under the shade of a tree and read the Bible. And she read it and she studied it and believed in it. So she was always of a religious trend of mind.
She must have done this when she was quite a young girl.
Yes, she was a very young girl, but she joined the church when she was young, 16. But the Bible is the book that she read from the time she first learned to read. She read and studied the Bible, so her mind was prepared and susceptible to the true gospel when she heard it. Because she believed just what she read in the Bible. She didn't try to change it in any way. The New Testament, she believed it just as it was written in the Bible.
Can you describe your grandmother Tracy as you knew her as a young girl? How tall was she and slim?
She was real tall and slender, taller than I am, and very slender. And of course,
how tall are you?
5'4".
5'4", well, I guess she'd be 5'6" or 5'8". I know she was taller than I, and she stood very erect, and she had a commanding appearance. Her voice was strong, and she meant what she said.
Was she stern or kind or?
Well, some people might think she was stern. That New England stock, you know, they're inclined to be that way. They're not gentle like the Southern people. They're a little different. And she seemed to have a stern way, but you could see beneath that sternness, and it didn't bother me any. I know one night, not long before she passed away, I was getting in an age where girls were starting to go out nights a little bit and go to some of the young folks' dances, and or having parties, going to parties. And I was stuck there every night with family. But my half-sister was having a party, birthday party one evening for some of her children, and she told me to come, and I went. Well, I left before the party was over, long before, and I had to walk down a stretch of railroad track in the dark, but I knew Grandmother was there alone waiting for me, and I had never been away this late before. So I hurried down that railroad track as fast as I could tear in the dark, and when I opened the door, she says, "Well, Florence, where have you been?" in very stern tones. And I said, "I went to a party, Grandma." I was very conscience-stricken to think that I had neglected her. And she gave a big, deep sigh. She says, "Well, I guess the party was of more consequence than I am." In a trembling voice, like she'd been terribly neglected, and I just went to bed and felt so bad. I just cried. I felt so bad at the tone of her voice, and because I had neglected her. And I didn't do it again. And all the time I stayed with her, although I was at the age when girls went to parties and things like that, I stayed with her every night. I remember a lady asking me about those things, or talking with me about staying with Grandmother, and she says, "Now I see why you're such a serious temperament, living with that old lady so long like you did, not getting out and enjoying life."
How many years did you stay with your grandmother?
Oh, I suppose it was less than 2 years. It wasn't long, but it seems long, you know, to a young child. And then this one night that she had a cold, and she coughed in the night, and I heard her. I heard that cough, and I jumped up and says, "What can I do for you, Grandmother?" Now, usually it's hard to wake a girl up at that age. They sleep pretty sound. But she says, "I can't get rid of this phlegm in my throat. Hand me a spoonful of that jam in the corner of the cupboard." So I got a spoon and took some, and she swallowed a little at a time until she got that phlegm out of her throat and could breathe easily. Well, the next morning I told Mother about it. I says, "Grandmother had a cold, and I had to get up in the night and give her something to clear her throat." So Mother went right over. And others of the family, Aunt Jane and Grandma Beckington, and some of them came up. That evening, Mother came in and says, "Florence, you go to bed at home tonight. You're not to stay with Grandmother tonight." And then in the next morning, she came and woke me up and says, Grandmother passed away during the night.
Hmm.
So that's how near I've come to being left alone with her when she passed away.
Mm-hmm. Now you were describing her. What color was her hair?
She had blue eyes and blonde. She was blonde complexion.
Of course, she was old now. Was her hair blonde when she was younger?
I think so. Yeah, I think she'd always been blonde. Blue-eyed blonde. I didn't see any pictures of her except that last one with that little shawl that she made. She made herself a little silk shawl from silkworms. She raised the silkworms, and we children used to go pick mulberry leaves and bring to her to feed the silkworms. And they wove the silk, and she knitted a little shawl out of the silkworm threads. And one of her daughters had it in the family, had it the last I heard of it, but it was a family heirloom.
Do you think that's still in existence today?
Well, this aunt, her daughter, passed away. They've all gone now. And I don't know whether her great-grandchildren would take care of it or whether it's in the family or not. But
the daughter you're speaking of, the one who married the Moyes?
Yes. She lived in Salt Lake City, Noreen Moyes. I forget who she married, but she had it the last time I heard of it, because her mother before her had it. And I don't know where it is, but in her photo she has that little knit shawl across her shoulders and fine silkworm silk.
Did she do other things to keep herself busy at that time other than this?
Well, she couldn't do much. She was weak. And I guess she sewed a little knitted when her eyes would permit and her hands. But she usually just went about and did her little housework. I went over every Saturday and cleaned and scrubbed up the kitchen and cleaned the house for her every Saturday. And then she'd sit between her cupboard and her stove and did her own little cooking and washed her own dishes and made her own bed and tied it up a little, but that's all she was able to do because she was quite old when she passed away. And she would have visitors call in and visit with her. So that's how she spent her time. She couldn't do much.
How about your grandfather, Tracy? Do you know anything about him that's not included in that short diary of Nancy Naomi?
Well, when Johnson's army came through.
He was a carpenter, Dad said.
Yes, he was a carpenter. And when Johnson's army came through, he was stationed up in Ogden City, or was it? Or Salt Lake, where Johnson's army came through, ready to set fire to the homes if they come in and tried to take possession. He was one that did that.
Didn't he go south?
Oh, yes, they went south. That was it. They went south. That's right. They went south when Johnson's army threatened to enter the valley. And it was his son David that was left behind to put the torch to the homes if Johnson's army tried to come in and take possession, because the leader of the church said, they drove us from Nauvoo and other places. And if they come here and try to drive us out and take possession, they'll find nothing but blackened ruins. But the army marched through the town and spared it and camped west of the town, so it was not necessary to burn it. Now, as I said, Grandfather Tracy didn't live very long after they entered the valley. And there's very little written about his life, except the little that's in Grandmother's diary, about them being sent by the prophet, meeting them at the boat, and being sent back to New York State on a mission. And I know he had the faith, a strong testimony, and he made a good missionary. Now that's about all we have about his life.
Was he dead before you were born?
Oh, yes.
You didn't ever know him?
Oh, no. You see, he died right after they entered the valley.
Mm-hmm.
They just got back there and settled down in their home. They'd only just got settled back from the move south. They went south in their wagon and he got back. And she says it was late for planting, but he sowed a little wheat. He thought it might mature a little so they could have something to eat for winter. And then he took to his bed and he never got up again. So he died right after the move south. See, my father wasn't even married then.
He built a house in Kirkland when they moved there. He built houses for others too.
And in Far West, he built a good many homes in Far West, and he helped to build the temples.
Apparently he was a pretty good rustler and provider from what she says in her diary.
Yes, he was a worker. And he worked on the temples, the meeting houses, wherever the saints were, from Kirtland on to Far West to Nauvoo and to Utah. And of course, he didn't do much in Utah, but at those places, he worked on the temples. And he built homes for the saints when they reached Missouri. Back before they arrived there, they had a couple that took sick on the way, and they stopped and built a home, a shelter for them, and stayed a few months before going on to Far West.
Well, how about your grandfather Tracy's father? Did you ever hear anything about him?
Well, Moses was the son of Caleb. And Caleb, my father met him when he went back on a mission at Western New York. And his
that would
father,
have been your father's grandfather?
Yes.
Your father's grandfather,
yes.
Tracy.
And his great-grandfather, Solomon, they lived up in the northern part of the state of New York.
Well, they were still alive when your father went on a mission there, is that right?
Some of them were. Caleb was. But they moved down to Western New York from up in the northern part of the state. And Caleb was alive. And father visited them, but there wasn't any of them that would accept the gospel. His mother's sister, Almina Tracy, I forget who she married, when he went on a mission there, she says, "Now, Helen, you're welcome to come and stay in our home. But I don't want to hear one word of religion. Now, remember that. Not a word about your religion. I have no use for it and don't want to hear about it. But Alma, you can stay here." And so she was very good to give him his food and washing and ironing his clothes, but some of his wearing apparel, he had to go down the creek and wash himself.
Mm-hmm.
But she was kind and good, and they all were, his cousins. And all the relatives that he met on that mission were very kind to him and lovely. They wanted to dance with him and have a good time, but no religion. He was not to preach to them at all. So he wasn't able to bring any of them into the church on the Tracy line. He brought some of the Calvins that were back on his mother's line, I believe.
Well, now, how about your own life again? Do you remember any outings or trips to conference or anything like that were real enjoyable?
Well, the first time I ever went to conference in Salt Lake City, I never shall forget it. I was working in the YLMIA in the Island Award, and the president said we should be represented at conference, at the MIA conference in Salt Lake, but I can't go. I've got a family, and you seem to be the only one that's free that could go. Now, whoever goes, the transportation is to be paid from the organization funds. And she said, "Could I go?" I told her, "Yes, I'd be glad to." So they paid my fare, and I got ready and went down.
How old were you at this time?
I was around 18. And I shall never forget walking from the station. I can remember the directions then. But I was on South Main Street, and when we got, or on Main Street, and when walking up, we got to the, within a block of the temple, I caught sight of the spires of the temple. and I stopped right short there, mid over under the eaves of the CCMI, and stood gazing at that temple. Now there's something that I don't know whether it should be mentioned or not here, but I had a boyfriend in Iona that wanted to marry me, but he wouldn't go through the temple. I told him I'd never get married outside the temple. He had been on a mission and been through the temple. But apparently he had lost the faith to a certain extent, and he thought it was too much bother to come away to Salt Lake to get married when you could get married in Iona Falls.
What was his name?
Thomas Lee.
Was
his sister was president of the YLMIA. And I told him, no, it's been my ambition to go through that temple and I'll never get married anywhere else. Well, he tried every way to get me to change my mind. He started going out with other girls and flirting around and right under my nose, thinking I'd get jealous and give in, but he didn't know me very well. Well, I stood there, stock still, when I saw that temple. And lo and behold, he'd been following me and I didn't know it. He'd gone to conference too, see, representing the young men.
Uh-huh.
He was active in the church, but when he got in Idaho Falls, he was a musician and played in the orchestra. He forgot church and everything. He wasn't a very good boy. And he come outside of me, saw me looking at that temple, and I guess my face was all in raptures, because you can't look at that temple without feeling something. He looked at me and dropped his head. He knew what I was thinking. I'm mighty darn thankful that I didn't get married outside of that house. When I get married, that's where I'm going to be married. I had the inspiration of that, what was inside that building all along, and I wanted to be sealed for time and eternity to a husband and children there. But those are the things you have to meet in life. And he should have known better, because he'd been on a mission and was active in the church. Now, was there anything else?
Well, just what broke up the rest of that?
Well, the result is that he went somewhere else and got him a girl, and she would marry him outside the temple. And she was a sister to president of the state, too. Well, the next I heard of that fellow, he got in World War...
One.
And was stationed in San Diego, California. And I just happened to pick up a newspaper one day, and there his name was listed among the dead.
Hmm.
He died there of the flu. Flu epidemic. And he left a wife and one child. And they lived up the country quite a ways from Idaho Falls. I don't even remember who they are.
How did you enjoy? This was an MIA conference, or was this a regular conference?
This was MIA conference. Oh,
June conference?
Boy, I'll never forget how I sat and drank in every word of that conference. And I took notes of every bit of it. Oh, it was just something I'd never heard before. I'd never been to a conference before. And Joseph F. Smith's wife was a speaker that I enjoyed so much. What was her name? Oh. I've forgotten her name now. He had several wives, but this one in particular had the most wonderful sermon. And everything seemed to fit in with what I believed and what I had done. About marrying in the church and marrying in the temple and all that, you know. It just seemed like it was meant for me. To think I wouldn't have had you and my five boys if I'd taken that step.
Well, I'm glad you married Pop instead of that guy.
He was a smart aleck. He thought that every girl on earth that he, just fell right in love with him at one look, because he had a way with him, you know, but he sure, I was afraid, a little bit afraid, I might be tempted. So they were having an MIA dance over in Ireland, and we lived over at Ben's 3 miles away. And I decided I wouldn't go. And Blanche went. And I decided to come back down to Ogden. Get away from the problem. I didn't like Idaho anyway. There's nothing I liked about it very much. So I packed my things and was going the next day, and Blanche went to the dance, and he came up and said, "Where's Florence?" "Oh, she's home packing." "What's she packing for?" "Oh, she's going to Ogden tomorrow." He says, "Tell her not to go. Tell her I want to see her first." And he gave Blanche a kiss and says, "Give her this kiss for me." But I was gone. I wasn't going to be tempted. He decided to come over there and talk me out of something like this. Or he might even have agreed to get married to Temple. It's a good thing. I forgot I was putting all that on here.
That's when it's the best.
Right?
Sure. What other boyfriends did you have besides Pop?
I was a woman hater from then on.
You mean a man hater?
A man hater from then on. After him, I thought there wasn't any good fellows in the church, and I'd get me one out of the church.
I see.
Because a lot of them are not living their religion, you know, they're in the church.
Did you ever go on any big outings or picnics? Trips up the canyon?
Seems to me like, yeah, when my brother Adam was courting Annie Ritchie and half-brother Wilfred was courting Angie Ritchie, they got one of those white-top buggies. Went back up in the hills on the Snake River fishing, you know, to have a time. And Vincy, Annie's daughter, had come up to Idaho and was visiting with us, so Vincy and I went. And there's two seats, it seems to me, in that white-top buggy, but Vincy and I was sitting in the back with our feet hanging out over the end gate, what do you call it? And they were driving along, you know, bumping along, and they went through a little ditch, creek, right down like this. And when they got right in the middle, we slid out, slid right up in the water. We slid out of the back. But there was good fishing up there, and Vincy and I fished, and Vincy caught her first great big salmon trout out there. And oh, she was so thrilled she caught a fish. And we fished, but our brothers, they had their girlfriends with them, and they didn't do very much fishing.
Did you catch any fish?
Yes, we both caught a lot of fish. And that was one of the things that was enjoyable up there, was those, that fishing. There's always good fishing up in Willow Creek and Snake River, back way back up in. And I enjoyed those trips when we'd go back up in the hills. Otherwise, I don't know that there was anything else much except the parties and dances in Iona.
How come your brothers and their girls took you along? Usually big brothers and their dates want to get rid of the little kids.
Oh, my brothers weren't that way. They didn't make any fuss. Vincy was up there visiting, you see. And she wanted to see things up there. She wanted to get out. And I've been back in the hills before. They have sheep back there, and they have lambing and all that back up in the hills. And I guess they did it just to please her, because she was a visitor from Austin, and they wanted her to have the experience of catching fish. And she never forgot it. She enjoyed herself so much on that trip. We just stayed the one day and then came back. I don't recollect anything. I wasn't up there too long. Like I say, I didn't like it any too well when I come back to Utah.
Did you ever hike in the mountains? Did you ever climb Ben Lomond or Mount Ogden? Or Malin's Peak?
No, I guess as far as we've gone, just go up to the camps up there in the canyon. What are those camps called now? On the MIA outings and...
North Fork.
North Fork and South Fork and those places on picnics. And, wasn't you with us that one time we went on a picnic up in the canyon?
No, I can remember several picnics. I was thinking of when you were younger, before you were married.
No, I came down here and my folks were all up in Idaho and early, and I was working her. My sister Annie, being a widow, she didn't have time for such things or facilities. I lived with her most of the time when I was down here alone.
What ward were you in when you were working at Coop? 19?
It was the first ward with the Bishop Ensign. What was his first name?
Where is the first
Horace
ward?
Horace Ensign.
Huh?
Horace.
No, his name wasn't Horace. The first ward is on 31st Street then, between Washington and Grant.
Where the 11th ward is now. Where the 11th ward is now.
It's the 11th ward now.
What?
That was the first ward, and then the first ward, they divided. The first ward's down on 33rd Street, and this is the 11th ward. It's on 31st Street between Washington and Grand, right back to where Coop's store was there. And I was very active in the ward there. I was counseling the young ladies. Everywhere I've lived, I've always been an officer in the organization. But one of the experiences that I enjoyed so much in that ward was teaching a Sunday school class. I like Sunday school.